What you're receiving is an outline that I will be utilizing. While they're handing them out, to give you a little roadmap, I believe I can cover this outline this morning. But I'm going to set aside some time this evening in case I don't get it all covered, and or if you have specific questions or issues of discussion on the office and work, I'll set aside some time this evening for that. And if we've had adequate discussion on it today, this morning, then we'll go to another topic this evening. But I don't want to shortchange it. And I would compliment our elders, for the way they've handled this. It's been one of the better handlings of it that I've seen. I will begin on the side that says evangelist qualifications and work that side first. This is not a subject that we discuss with as quite as frequency as we do elders and deacons, maybe because we don't do it as often, and that may be partially because there's not one snippet of verses you go to. Like for an elder, you would go to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, and for deacons, 1 Timothy 3. They're not laid out quite that concisely, but I don't consider 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 to be a thorough and complete listing of the qualifications for an elder. For instance, nowhere in 1 Timothy 3 or Titus 1 does it say an elder should not be a thief. But obviously you wouldn't want an elder who was a thief, because he wouldn't be walking the Christian walk. The word evangelist appears three times in the King James translation. It appears in Acts chapter 21, verse 8, when Philip is called an evangelist. It occurs in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, where it is listed amongst a series of four or five workers in the vineyard: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then it is mentioned finally in the passage that Kyle read for us this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, where Timothy is told to do the work of an evangelist. Technically, only Philip is called an evangelist, but I think the fact that Paul asked Timothy to do the work of an evangelist is a pretty good indication that logic would say Timothy functioned as an evangelist. Titus is not called an evangelist, but the work that Paul gives Titus to do is consistent with the work of an evangelist, so I think that's an appropriate conclusion. I do not view evangelist as a title. I view it as an adjective. I prefer to think of evangelist with a small e and not a capital E. Thayer defines the word evangelist, or the Greek word from which evangelist comes, as the bringer of good tidings. You may run across it as a proclaimer of the gospel. But in its etymology, for instance, in Acts, we have Simon the Tanner. Well, we don't call him Tanner Simon. We have John the Baptist, but we don't call him Baptist John. We have Philip the Evangelist, but we do sometimes tend to use the term Evangelist Philip. Well, I don't know that that is wrong, but I believe that, like Tanner described Simon's work, evangelist describes the work rather than being a title. Kind of like Bill the Electrician, Joe the Plumber. From the very meaning of the word, heralder or proclaimer of the truth, historians and scholars have tended to agree that there is an itinerancy inherent in the work of an evangelist. Evangelists may travel from country to country. He may travel from city to city. He may travel from house to house. But he goes. That is inherent in the description. And like any other servant of the church, an evangelist must meet the divine qualifications or he will do harm to the cause. And I think that's one of the reasons I've been asked to touch on some of these this morning. As I said, there is not a concise cataloging of the qualifications like there is for elder and or deacon. But yet we can paint a mosaic picture of the type of man that I believe God is telling us he's looking for in this work. To do it thoroughly, we would have to study the books of Acts, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and some other selected scriptures, and obviously we're not going to have time to do that this morning. So I have listed on the sheet that you have, under qualifications, not what is intended to be an exhaustive list, because I think every qualification for a Christian ought to be on there for it to be exhaustive, but a survey of what I consider to be some of the salient scriptures for us to consider. And without any apology, I'm going to go down through that list of scriptures. I'm going to read them and make just a couple of comments on each one as to why I have included it. I'll have to do it with rather rapid fire, but once I get to Timothy, you can just keep going through the books. And if you care to follow, I would recommend it, but that certainly is always up to you. In Acts chapter 16, we are introduced to a young man, Timothy. We don't know how old Timothy was at this point. He probably wasn't an evangelist at this point. If I were to guess, he would have been of an early 20s. But by the time we get to the letters that Paul wrote Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, Timothy is probably in his 40s. Now, if you want to consider that a young man, that's fine. If you consider that a middle-aged person, that's fine. It will depend upon your reference point. In Acts chapter 16, however, verse 2, we have a description of Timothy. And it says, he was well reported of by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. He was well thought of by the people that knew him best. Well reported of by the brethren. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. And all through this book, Paul, writing obviously to the evangelist Timothy, is going to give him some guidance. And we'll take from that some things for us to consider as we consider someone for this work. Obviously, weight is on the congregation's mind, but it would be applicable to anyone. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commend you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. There's the concept there of the evangelist Timothy had to be courageous. Paul uses warfare terminology, and not in a pugilistic sense. But Timothy, as an evangelist, had to have the courage, even when it wasn't popular, and that's the only time it takes courage. When you're simply reciting something that's popular, it doesn't take a lot of courage or backbone. Paul exhorts him to be courageous. Verse 19, courageous in holding the faith and having a good conscience. He was to be a holder of the faith. He was to be mature enough in order to know what he believed, know what scriptures taught, and be courageous enough to stand up for that when he was being challenged. Paul knew that as an evangelist, he would be challenged. Chapter 3, verse 15. And I want to again emphasize, I've chosen ones I think that will give us an overview, but in the ensuing week, it would be good for all of us to reread this entire book or books. He says in chapter 3, verse 15, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth. That's an interesting verse. You ought to know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Well, we ought to all take that to heart. But Timothy was going to have a particular onus to conduct himself in a way that would instill confidence in people within the church. I simply listed good behavior. But I think in addition to good behavior, it's mature behavior. Knowing when to laugh, knowing when to cry, knowing when to console,
knowing when to rebuke.
Chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine wherein thou hast attained. To be nourished up, and we know that Timothy's home life had a lot to do with that. I would say, in Wade's case, you people have had a lot to do with that, the nourishing up in faith and in doctrine. When I get to verse 12 of this fourth chapter, the concluding, I'm going to read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. There are about eight sermons in these verses, but they all center around being a good example. Well, sure, we ought to all be a good example, but in this work, credibility is crucial. And if you lose your credibility, either by not keeping confidences or having a credible nature, you will not be effective. That's simple. And Paul gives this admonition. Now, we tend to remember the first part of verse 12, but I'm really interested in the last half. But I'll read all of verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. This is that light shining that Randy talked about. In word, to be an example in what we say, how we live, our conversation, how we love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Well, there's six lessons right there. Someone that this congregation sends out for this work needs to be exemplary in those areas. Till I come, verse 13, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Be a builder up through the word. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by the presbyter, by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, I'll touch on that verse a little bit later, but the laying on of the hands of the elders there is the sending out. Timothy apparently was sent out by a congregation. The hands of the presbytery or elders were laid upon him. Meditate, has to be a man of meditation, verse 15, upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Always remember Psalms 1. David said, in his law doth I meditate day and night, that thy profit may appear to all. It should be obvious. Shouldn't be a surprise that men sent out for this are appropriately qualified. Take heed, watch yourself. Verse 16. Take heed unto doctrine and continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Chapter 5, verse 21, I want to touch on the concept of impartiality, which is extremely important. And that's obviously important for Christians, but extremely important for evangelists. Verse 21, 1 Timothy 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preference one for another, doing nothing by partiality. That is exceedingly easier said than done. Sadly, partiality sometimes even rears its head within the church. Preferential treatment based upon whether we like or dislike somebody. Preferential treatment based upon whether they are family or not. Those things ought not to be, and they certainly can't be in the heart of an evangelist who is sometimes going to have to hear very difficult matters between people. Evangelists will be accused of partiality, but it is to be a faultless or non-defensible charge. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, I'm not going to read all of those verses for the sake of time, but it talks about not being greedy, following righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, contentment. All of those are obviously essential, but I would point us to the greedy or the lover of money. Far, far too many preachers of the gospel, and I'm using that in its broadest sense, are lured by money. And they will move from congregation to congregation or from place to place based upon it being a more lucrative position. That is so far from the Word of God that I shouldn't even have to make that comment. Anybody that gets into this work to make money is obviously not ready or not the right person for this work. That does not mean they should not be supported. It does not mean it's not appreciated. But it means that is not to be a motive. In verse 14 of this sixth chapter, keep this commandment without spot, be unrebukable. In other words, be pure, be blameless. Don't live a life where people can bring charges against you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast to the word. There's this concept of being mature enough that you're not going to be swayed by every wind of doctrine that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, people, that the latest fad, the latest trinket, religiously or physically, is what they go after, and they can't wait to get it. They're like little babies who walk across the floor, and everything they encounter, they put it in their mouth, whether it's good for them or not. An evangelist is to be of sufficient maturity that that will not be the case. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the concept of enduring hardship. And several of the verses that Kyle read for you in chapters 3 and 4 of this book, Paul talks about his endurance of hardship. Today our evangelists don't endure physical hardship like they did probably only 50 or 60 years ago. I hear many stories of some of our older evangelists who would go and preach, and if they didn't get some remuneration, they didn't have money to buy gas to go home. More than one evangelist that is still alive, and you know very, very well, has had to go to a farmer and beg for gasoline to get home. I think it's good that, in general, I don't think that is the case anymore. Apt to teach, gentle, in verses 24 and 25. Obviously, how are you going to proclaim the good news if you're not able to teach? In chapter 4, the first five verses, Kyle read these for us already. Be prepared in season, out of season, in verse 2. You never know what comes at you. And you won't have the answer to everything. That's not what this scripture is saying. But it is a concept of being prepared. Very quickly, in Titus chapter 1, or 2, pardon me, adhere to sound, healthy doctrine. And in chapter 2, verse 15, we have the concept of being able to build up, exhort, and rebuke when necessary. I listed also what I consider to be some practical issues, and I do want to touch on them. I'm beginning to wonder if I'm going to get through this morning, but I'm going to try. But I do want to touch on these practical issues. I think there are scriptural issues. Even though a direct verse doesn't necessarily point to all of these, the principles do. I think health is an issue. Some men should not enter this work because of its effect it will have on their health. A high rate of burnout, a high rate of hypertension. Sometimes stress brings out the best in some people, and sometimes stress debilitates some people. We need to look at, are we doing the person an injustice? Because their temperament just isn't suited for that. Humility, obviously not simply the antithesis of pride. A self-starter, disciplined. If a man is not a self-starter and relatively disciplined, do him and you a favor. And don't put him in this position. Some people need an alarm clock and an 8 o'clock be at work and a 5 o'clock get off in order to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just some of us are like that. But that won't be the life of an evangelist. Willingness to adapt. We can spend a lot of time on that. All of the different people you're with, all of the different people you will stay with, all of the different people you will eat with, Paul's words, when I'm with this, I'm like them, and when I'm there, I'm like them, are oh so true. I'm not talking about changing our morality, but when you're with a farmer, you're interested in that. When you're with a computer programmer, you're interested in that. When you're with a carpenter, you're interested in that, even though you may not know anything about any of it. be optimistic. Realistic, but optimistic. Studious. Obviously, that comes from a famous passage in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study is not something that everybody is equally given to. For some people, books are for learning. For other people, books are for sleep. And when they open up, that's what they do. We are different. Versatile. Very much like willingness to adapt. Steadfast. Continuance. I think hopefully those speak for themselves. A willing family and a willing wife. One of the differences between an evangelist and an elder and a deacon is an evangelist, it's never told, has to be married. There is no indication in Scripture that Timothy or Titus were ever married. If I had to guess, they probably weren't. Philip was because he had daughters. But if a man is married, you must examine the wife's ability to function in his absence. I don't know any other way to say it. Some of you very, very wonderful people, married couples here this morning, have probably not, I could probably count on one hand the nights you husbands and wives have spent apart. Well, that's not going to work for an evangelist. The wife has to be willing to support it, but not simply just willing to intellectually support it. She needs to be able to function in the absence of her husband, because the work will require that. Period. Period. The work of an evangelist on the back, I'll comment on just a little bit, maybe a little bit more tonight. I view the work of an evangelist to be largely, not terribly, unlike the work of a Christian. An evangelist is to evangelize, but aren't we all to do that? To confirm right doctrine. But aren't we all to do that? Don't we all have that responsibility? To be a Christian example, but I sure hope we all have that as well. But there are some specifics that an evangelist has as his work on occasion to do that not all Christians have. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Titus is exhorted to set things in order. That is not a commandment for all Christians. It is a commandment for Titus, the evangelist. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, along with the apostles, prophets, and elders, an evangelist is to be involved in the equipping of the saints. Evangelizing has really two arenas. There is the going and preaching to the lost, which is an important part and work of an evangelist, but there is also the equipping of the saints. Otherwise, I don't know what to do with Ephesians 4, 11, and 12, for that is one of the jobs. One of the things that evangelists did in the first century, and as a model we would use that today, is to be involved in the establishment of new congregations. And let me just use an example. We have a new congregation budding and growing in Lone Jack. It is with the blessings of the elders here and with the blessings of the elders at Murray Road and wherever those people came from, but it would be inappropriate for the elders here to be involved in that because then they would be over two flocks. No, according to Paul's admonition to Timothy and Titus, that is a work of the evangelist. There is the work of establishing and strengthening existing congregations. There is the work of appointing church leadership. And I put in parentheses, but I want to emphasize, appointing does not mean selecting. The congregation calls out their leaders. Now, an evangelist shouldn't appoint someone that he doesn't think is qualified, but no matter how qualified an evangelist thinks a man is, if the congregation doesn't call him out, he should not override the will of the congregation, in my humble opinion. And there is the element of correcting the erring. And there is one aspect of correcting the erring that maybe is unique to the evangelist, and that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, and I will take a look at that. It happens rarely, thank goodness. And this is in the rebuking of an elder. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. Here Paul is talking to Timothy, the evangelist, and saying, when elders are wrong and in error, there may be a time when you have to rebuke them. Now, I think all Christians, when an elder errs, should call it to that elder's attention. But this seems to be a special thing in which, God forbid, and thank goodness it happens rarely, an elder who is continuous in wrongdoing and non-repentant may need to be removed from office. And that seems to be one of the functions of an evangelist. I want to comment just a moment on what I think the work of an evangelist is not. I just have a couple of points. The work of the evangelist is not to do the work of the elders, nor to do the work of the deacons, nor to do the work of the members. And this is where I believe the religious world has really gotten itself all tied up, because men have been appointed and hired to do the work of, rather than augment the work of. I believe an evangelist is fully endowed with augmenting the work of a congregation, but that is far different than doing the work of the congregation. I don't believe as a member I have any right to pay somebody to do what I ought to be doing. Now, to pay someone or to support someone, maybe that's a better phrase, to augment what we are doing, in addition to, that's quite a different thing and quite an appropriate thing. An evangelist is not to be the official visitor of visitors to the congregation. When we have visitors here at Smart Road, we should not view it, well, John or Wade or whoever, it's their job to go visit them. Well, it's our job as members, but it doesn't relieve each of us as our job as members, does it? An evangelist is not to be the leader of a public function. An evangelist is not to be the focal point. I think we're making progress on that point, but it seems to me decades ago, evangelists, through no fault of their own, just the way they were treated, were unduly focal points. People used to wait until the evangelist would come for his spring or fall meeting, and then they'd have like 20 baptisms. They'd save them all up. I'm glad we don't do that anymore. What if some of those people didn't live till the spring or fall meeting? Very, very troublesome. An evangelist is to preach and teach the word, not run the church if it has elders and deacons. He is to preach and teach, but not run. An evangelist encourages and guides through teaching the word, not by being a pastor, as the world uses that term. The last thing I put at the bottom, and this has nothing to do with Wade, it's just something that is very meaningful to me. There is more to being an evangelist than simply wanting to. What I mean by that is, if a man wants to be an evangelist, I don't believe the congregation is in any obligation to make him an evangelist. We are only under obligation if the man is qualified and if it's a need that needs to be met and fulfilled. But I have seen congregations feel that if somebody wants to be an evangelist, that it's almost sacrilegious not to make them an evangelist. Well, I know you don't agree with that intellectually, but we don't want to even touch on that emotionally. One of the things an evangelist has to do daily is make choices. Well, we all have to make choices. I understand that. Where do you go? How do you spend your time? We need men that you would have the confidence in that they would make wise choices. They can receive counsel from their elders. They can receive counsel from learned men, brethren. But they have to choose. Do they work in the city? Do they work in the rural areas? Do they work here? Do they work there? They have to be men of mature judgment. I think we're blessed to even have a young man that we can consider. I don't know what the congregation will decide here, but I really appreciate the approach to this, because in Acts chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas started their first missionary journey, even an apostle was sent out by the congregation. Well, if it was appropriate for an apostle to be sent out under those circumstances, it must be even more important and appropriate for certainly lesser beings, of which we all are, to be sent out by the support. And I'm not talking about financial. That's a non-issue to me. I have personal opinions about it, but that's a non-issue. When I say support, I mean emotional backing. That pat on the back, that encouragement that we all need. Tonight we will go back and maybe touch on a few items, but if you have comments or questions you would like to ask about this office and this work, bring them, and I'll discuss them to the extent I can and they're appropriate. If you don't have any, well, I have a lesson already scheduled in my mind for tonight. So I don't want you to feel obligated, but I do want to give you the opportunity. You are considering something that some congregations have never done. You would be amazed. Well, maybe you wouldn't. How many congregations have never sent out an evangelist? Well, there are multiple reasons for that, and that's not necessarily an accusation against those congregations, but a healthy congregation ought to be seeking out men for elder, for deacon, for evangelist, as appropriate. And we just simply can't have too many, because there is no end to the work to be done. No end to the work to be done. We're going to close our thoughts this morning. This has been a little pedantic, but I needed to go through those points. I decided to give you a handout for you to consider and to look at. Maybe it will help guide your thought process a little bit during these next 2 weeks, in which Randy and Gerald are asking for your input. And I don't want to infringe upon their territory, but I would urge you, if you do have any concerns, they honestly do want to hear them. They wouldn't have asked for them if they didn't want them. Because if and when this occurs, it needs to be us moving forward, not just a few. Not just them, it needs to be us. That will be the way it will be most effective, and that will be the way it will be most scriptural. As we close our lesson this morning, we're going to extend the gospel invitation. We've been talking about evangelizing, but it's not been a particularly evangelistic lesson. But we do always want to pause and consider what is extremely important. In fact, the most important thing. If you're a member of this congregation, considering what Randy asked you to consider this morning is very, very important. But if you're not a member of the Lord's body, it's not what you need to be thinking about at all. What you need to be thinking about is, if the Lord comes right now, will I be saved? And there is nothing else you should be thinking about. When you walk out that door in a few moments, you need to be fully persuaded in your heart that you are saved. And if you're not fully persuaded in your heart that you are saved, then you need to do whatever needs to be done. Be baptized. Be reinstated. Ask for the prayers of the brethren. Ask for forgiveness. Whatever it is you need to do, that's what you need to focus on as Gerald leads us in our concluding song. We invite you as we stand and sing.